Owning a home is full of surprises. Some wonderful, some not so much. And when something breaks, it can feel like the whole day unravels. That's why HomeServe exists. For as little as $4.99 a month, you'll always have someone to call. A trusted professional ready to help, bringing peace of mind to 4.5 million homeowners nationwide. For plans starting at just $4.99 a month, go to HomeServe.com. That's HomeServe.com. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $4.99 to $11.99 a month your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs.
Marketing is hard. But I'll tell you a little secret. It doesn't have to be. Let me point something out. You're listening to a podcast right now, and it's great. You love the host. You seek it out and download it. You listen to it while driving, working out, cooking, even going to the bathroom. Podcasts are a pretty close companion. And this is a podcast ad. Did I get your attention? You can reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a pre-produced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience in their favorite podcasts with Libsyn Ads. Go to libsynads.com, that's L-I-B-S-Y-N, ads.com today.
Welcome to Act 3, the podcast where we explore how to thoughtfully shape the rest of our lives. I'm your host, Kara Gray. This podcast is sponsored by Good Morning Freedom, my third act consultancy, where I help executives and professionals with a plan to intentionally design the rest of their lives. For more information, stay tuned until the end. Today, I welcome Anne Medlock to the podcast. Anne wears a lot of hats: writer, editor, activist, publicist, speaker, actor, speechwriter, teacher, award-winning public radio commentator, and ghost. She is also a social entrepreneur, having founded the Giraffe Heroes Project, a nonprofit organization. Her background includes editing Vietnam Press in Saigon and teaching in Japan and the Congo. In the United States, she's written articles for Look, The New York Times, The Journal of Commerce, editor and publisher, Working Woman, Lears, Co-Evolution Quarterly, New Age Journal, and Education Week. Counseled major corporations on using media, developed classroom curricula, and edited the Children's Express news service. In 1982, concerned that too few people were participating in public life, she launched the Giraffe Heroes Project to inspire people to stick their necks out for the common good and give them the tools to succeed. The nonprofit has since honored almost 2,000 giraffes and told their stories in every medium that's become available over these decades. Anne's been interviewed by Time, Parade, the Christian Science Monitor, the New York Times, Good Morning America, Lifetime, and innumerable other broadcast and print outlets. And now here on the Act 3 podcast, Anne, welcome.
Hey. I am struck by how many of those things don't exist anymore.
Well, you have lived some life. So, to be clear, you are not retired.
Not at all.
And you have always been a writer, and a prolific writer at that. I think I am most interested today in speaking with you about your book called Breadcrumbs. 18 clues on the path to a meaningful, exciting life, from the mundane to the profound, with frequent interruptions for laughter, a memoirish guidebook. Meaning is something that I talk a lot about with my clients. In fact, that's a lot of the reason that people work for me, to find meaning after their main careers. And I think I mostly talk about it using the word purpose. But I think we're talking about the same thing.
Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about what inspired you to write this book.
The breadcrumbs one. I mouth off a lot with friends and family. And people come say, you should write that down. It's part of legacy for me. There's a whole website of stuff that I just keep stashing stuff. And if someday somebody stumbles upon it and finds things that help them get through, that's great. But it's just a gift to the world.
Yeah, for sure. I want you to take us through some of your favorite clues and give us some insights. For example, breadcrumb number one is the golden rule isn't good enough.
I figured that would cause a lot of people to be very upset because it's a universal. I mean, it's everywhere. And a few years ago, Karen Anderson, the great writer about the world's religions, had actually a worldwide program going to get the golden rule spread all over the planet. And I kept thinking,
Tell us what the golden rule is.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So there's some Native American observers who noticed there's a hook in that. And they got me. I said, you're right. You're asking people to do good in order to get good done back to them. And you shouldn't have to need a payoff to do good. You should just do it anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a quote from John Wesley, the Methodist founder, that you take whatever you've got, wherever you are, whatever the situation is, and give it your all. You just do. So I created the Putnam rule. You know, what do you remember what it is?
I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, but it takes the hook out. There's no transaction in it.
Yeah, there's no reciprocation in this rule. It should just be doing good, period.
Yeah, forget the transaction part. That what spoils the whole thing.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, number two. Brace yourself. Being alive is a risk.
Yeah. So many people cling to the side of the pool, you know, and they're just so afraid to let go. But being alive is letting go. And I have found it to be so often improv. You know, be ready to make a move quickly, accept what comes in, say yes, go. What's your next move? And that's part of the breadcrumbs is that great Marcus Aurelius thing about amor fati. You love your fate and make your move. You don't sit there saying no, which is a principle of improv theater. Somebody says something on stage and you say yes and keep going. And that's the whole, the sort of down and dirty definition of amor fati, this lofty, you know, Latin phrase. Just say yes, keep going. Don't say no, but. Because life is risky and you got to take your chance.
Yeah. If you don't take your chance, you'll never know what could have been.
And you end up thinking, I wonder what would have happened if I had done that, if I hadn't been so scared. I'm scared all the time, you know, and I love the painter Georgia O'Keeffe, who said, I'm frightened every day, all the time, and I just go anyway. Just do it anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Do you have any regrets? Are there any risks that you wish you had taken?
Oh, wow. I have had a schizophrenic life because of the social action stuff is so important to me, and so is the writer stuff. And I look at some of the writers I love who have given everything just to their writing, and I think, maybe I should have done that, you know, and just been the person who writes stuff. But the other hat was very appealing too. So.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, number three. You can improvise a good life.
It's that same thing. Take that amor fati philosophy and just whatever comes at you. Don't take a lot of time of yelling, why me? Or God, why are you doing this to me? Or all those things we go through.
Yeah.
Just go, oh, I see. Got it. Okay, now here's my move. Improv. Every minute to keep it alive, to keep it going. The guy who built this house was a British architect who only wrote plans to get the building inspector's office back. What he actually was doing was building it stick by stick on site himself and adjusting his next move to whatever happened at the time, which was fascinating to watch. Just amazing. And the finished product is so juicy. It's so alive. It's so well located. You know, it really taught me a lot about my own work. I mean, you don't have to know how the story ends. Just start, go. And you get to the next place, you think, oh, I see. Now it can go that way. And then you get there and you say, aha, now I can go this way. And it's improv every minute.
Yeah. And that's a house you're living in now that you're speaking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I assume there was no mistake in hiring that particular architect.
Well, it was difficult. But he's a blooming genius. And the other book I'm working on is about working with him, because he has a cult following all over the world. And this is one of the only houses he ever built, a private house.
What's his name?
Christopher Alexander.
Okay.
He wrote a book called A Pattern Language, which has been in print for 40 years. And we have architects all over the world calling up and saying, could I please come see the house?
Wow. Yeah. Amazing.
So working with him was a great lesson in improv. Because architects don't do that. You know, they draw a picture and they hand it to a contractor and they go away. But watching Chris work was miraculous. Just amazing.
I love that. Let's see. Which one should we do next? Let's go to five. A constant refrain that I sing, don't buy in. What prompted this lesson, this breadcrumb?
Finding over and over again that the emperor has no clothes. You know, we get so many rules. We get so many, you know, laws and strictures, and they all sound very authoritative, you know, and you should just listen to me. And then you find out, you got that wrong. You know, that isn't the way it is at all. So you have to keep paying attention and making your own call and not buying into everything that's handed to you as this is the way it is. I was kind of unemployable because of that. My last salary was at Macmillan Publishing, and it had been in this beautiful little old house on Lower Fifth Avenue. And it was bought by a major corporation and moved into a skyscraper uptown. So the publishing house was a few floors of this monster skyscraper. And the corporation kept doing the stupidest things. And I kept saying, excuse me, that's stupid. So it's much better for me to be on my own.
Well, I'm glad that being on your own worked out for you all these years. Does anybody here know how to play this game? Yes, I do. Watch.
Yeah. And I think I put a picture of one
Serena.
Of the Williams sisters there.
Yeah.
I was like, does she know how to play this game? Stand back.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just, again, the emperor so often has no clothes. For my 80th birthday, I gave myself a present. I got a jeweler here on the island where we live to make me a ring that's a bear butt with a crown on it. For the emperor has no clothes.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And I don't know if it's in there, but I got a call from my son's history teacher when he was in junior high. The police come and talk to him. And oh, dear, what's now? And I got there and the guy says, you have to make him stop wearing that button. I said, which one? His jacket was covered with all kinds of buttons. And he said, the one that says question authority. And I just looked at him and said, I gave it to him.
Yeah. You were that mom. I love it. Oh, my goodness. I see now how you and your husband are so perfectly well matched.
He's actually a good taker, isn't he?
Yes. I had the pleasure of interviewing Anne's husband, which I'm not quite sure what order these podcasts are going to be released in, but he was definitely a free spirit as well. And a risk taker for sure. And I love your partnership with him. It's really amazing. Did I read somewhere that you guys met later in life?
Oh, yeah. We got married on his 40th birthday because I said it was too embarrassing to marry a guy in his 30s. I was 49.
Nice. Oh, my goodness. Yes, I read that story and I thought, you know, there's, you know, a lot of people are finding love and lasting relationships later in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I guessed wrong twice. This is my third try.
Okay.
But it's been 42 years, so I think it's working.
I think so, too. Really awesome. Balancing kindness, forgiveness, and justice can be gnarly. That is a breadcrumb.
Yeah, that really, it is a hard one because so often the drive for justice can get you into some pretty bad places. And the Dalai Lama did something that just drives me crazy. When he was here in Seattle, he said his motto was be kind whenever possible. Okay. So there's a second line. It is always possible. That's horrible. That is so hard to do. When you are so tempted to just let fly, you know, because somebody has really messed up. But it is always possible.
Yes, for sure. Number 9, don't be so sure you know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainty is a real problem for me when I keep finding it in people who are absolutely sure they know what's going on. And nobody knows what's going on. If you dig a little deeper or look a little in the periphery, you're going to find out stuff you didn't know. You know, so, you know, it's like that, those old jokes about, we'll see, you know, the guy his son broke his leg. That was terrible. No, we'll see. A recruiter for the army comes and doesn't take the kid because his leg is broken. Aha. Guess what? That was okay. He didn't know what was going on. It wasn't bad. It saved his son's life. So you just never know. It's better to stay open, see what's coming, and see what's on the periphery.
I'm skipping here a little bit. Exercise and go easy on the junk food.
Yeah, well, there's got to be some practical stuff.
I think it's all pretty practical, but this is, yeah, that's very specifically practical. How have you stayed active as you've gotten older? What's your secret?
Washington State has this great program called SAIL, which is a stay active and independent for life, SAIL. And there are online Zoom exercise classes designed for people who have possible balance questions.
Okay.
So it's cardio, strength, balance, and stretching for an hour at a session.
Oh, that's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. You are panting at the end of it. But it's really, really good. And I don't have to leave work or get dressed or do anything. I can just hit the Zoom button and I'm in the class.
Yeah, that's so cool. Laughter may be an option.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, people can get so grim. And I think we're seeing something happening right now in U.S. politics, where suddenly people are laughing. Like, what? What happened? What happened to all the gloom and doom? People are laughing. What a lovely thing.
Yeah. Joy is important. Embracing
really,
it.
Really, really. And there's all sorts of studies that even it changes your body chemistry. If yes. you can laugh about something. Yeah.
Yeah. Meditation works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your meditation journey in your life.
I started TM, you know, the Maharishi, Beetle Maharishi TM.
Transcendental meditation. Yeah.
In 1971. And it's all I do. It's nothing fancy.
Well, it's quite a commitment, though. What is it, 20 minutes twice a day?
Yeah, I don't do that. Once, not twice.
20 minutes once a day. Okay, that's enough to keep me straight.
Yeah. But man, it's like vacuum cleaning. You know, it just clears out all the junk.
Yeah.
Really it helps you be present. And there's nothing more important than being here now.
Yeah.
I think that's the key to everything. Because you know, if you are fully present, it's so much easier to laugh. It's so much easier to be happy because everything that's here is so real to you and so you're so aware of what's happening right now. You're not off yearning for something you don't have and you're not regretting something you wish you'd done. You're just right here, which is kind of the secret to the whole thing. Don't miss your life. Be here. Experience what you're experiencing.
Yeah. I think the last breadcrumb I want to reveal, because I want people to actually read your book, is having it all, doing it all doesn't work. Choose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The idea that you can have every single thing you want all at the same time. No. I tried. Before I left New York, I was, you know, full-time working with a lot of clients, running to meetings. I had a kid in school. One in college, one in kindergarten. And I still have nightmares where I'm in a meeting in Midtown and I gotta ace this meeting because it's the grocery money and the rent, but school is letting out uptown and I don't know how the hell I'm going to get there in time. And I end up running through the streets to try to get to East 79th in time. And I get there and he's sitting on the steps crying, the last kid at school. I still have that nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we can put too much on our plates sometimes.
I think particularly as women, we do as well.
Oh God, yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be hard. part-time is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to balance too many full-time things, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Or you'll have nightmares for 40 years.
Yeah.
That kid is 50 years old and I'm still having that nightmare.
Oh. You have really lived such and are living such a vibrant and seemingly fulfilling life. Like I'm super impressed with your spirit and, you know, in the general vibration that I get from you. And I'm wondering what advice you would have for people who are, you know, maybe transitioning from their last, like a main career into retirement, whatever we want to call it, their next chapter, Act Three, like to find that purpose and that meaning. You've always found it, I feel, but how, if any advice in that space would be amazing for my listeners.
Yeah, it's so important what you do with that time. I have a buddy here on the island who is the mother of the FIRE movement, financial independence, retire early.
Yes.
Her name is FIRE, and she wrote the book that started with. And what she found with people who are doing that program now, younger people than her, is that they don't have a good plan for what they're going to do at retirement.
Yeah.
How boring is it to sit on a beach? I mean, how long can you do that without going nuts?
Yeah,
that's what they're thinking.
Yeah,
and what you have to look for is service. What have I learned that I can offer in service to the people behind us, the ones who are still struggling to figure out how things work? I tried to get my dad to do this. He was a demon editor. He was always reading the newspaper and going, oh, no, grammar, oh, no, spelling error, spelling error. And I said, Dad, why don't you go down there and volunteer to be the copy editor? Clearly, they need you. No, he'd rather complain. Well, how about teaching a kid to read? There's a lot of kids who are having trouble reading. You could do that. You would love to read. And you could do... But he would have been so much happier if he had used those skills to serve.
Then it would have felt needed, and his skills would have been used, and all kinds of sense of accomplishment, and plus community that he would have found there.
People to hang out with.
It's
service. I mean, what do you got? What have you learned? What can you do? I mean, maybe it's cooking. Maybe it's teaching people to knit socks. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you know how to do that you can offer?
Yeah.
No strings, no transactional involved.
Right. I think that also might be the key to not expect something in return, which is kind of counterintuitive to our culture and the way that we live, unfortunately.
What can it be? Yeah. I said once I can knit socks and I make a mean chowder. So push comes to shove, if it's the apocalypse, I could at least teach people how to make socks and chowder.
Yeah. Well, you can do a lot of things. A lot of things. And I want to know what's next for you. What projects are you working on now, or what's next in your life generally?
Today, I have to finish 17 write-ups for nominations for new giraffe commendations. And long-term, I've got to write more on this architecture thing, because I think it's so important that our built space nurtures sanity and safety and comfort, not these ego trips that architects go on with all the glass and the steel and the look what a wonderful thing I made. Humanizing architecture is so important, because buildings can make people crazy. Yeah, working in a space that's inhospitable or lived one is like, no, it really harms people. So I want to finish the book about building with Christopher Alexander.
Wonderful. And if my listeners want to find out more about you and to read Breadcrumbs, where can they find you?
And medlock.com.
Yeah.
Oh, no E on the N. It's a plain English and not a French N. Yeah.
I will put that in the show notes as well, so it'll be easy for them to click over and check out all of your work. There's much more than Breadcrumbs there. There's like volumes of content.
Yeah. There's op-eds, there's poems, there's, I used to be a radio commentator, and there's some of the scripts are there, because they were really fun to do.
Well, Anne, I will let you get back to all of the work that you need to do today. And thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
And English majors rule.
Thank you so much, Anne.
Thanks, Kara.
This podcast is sponsored by Good Morning Freedom, my consulting practice. I help executives, professionals, and business owners plan the non-financial part of their third act, like how to discover new purpose and how you want to spend your time. I offer a one-on-one third act blueprint package where we work together to discover some new avenues for exploration in your next chapter. My work with you is completely custom and will provide you with a ton of resources and support as you transition to this new stage of life. Don't miss the opportunity to intentionally design the rest of your life. For all the details, please go to goodmorningfreedom.com.